we want to move to that before lunch?
Let's see. We have one card, I think, for 28.
Right, from David Hicks.
And I think our presentation is on the order of 7 minutes or so?
Closer to 10. Huh?
10?
But I can talk fast.
So we're probably looking at 15 minutes or so.
Okay, should we do that? Okay, we'll do item 28.
And item 28 is a total maximum daily load recommendation for you regarding San Luis Obispo Creek and specifically the constituent of pathogens. And presenting the staff report today is Christopher Rose of our staff.
Yes, good morning. My name is Christopher Rose, and I'll be talking to you about the pathogen TMDL in San Luis Obispo Creek. Thank you for having me. So,
can you make sure that you're close to the microphone? Seems like that mic is not picking up as well.
Can you hear me? Okay. Great.
It's better.
Thank you. So again, I'll be talking about the pathogen TMDL for San Luis Obispo Creek. I'd like to start off with the watershed map, and I'll see if I can get a pointer here. Arrow. So just to orient you, we are currently sitting in San Luis Obispo Creek watershed. We are currently sitting right about here. And these points mark the main stem sampling sites that were used for the analysis for the TMDL. So what I'd like to do is focus in on this area, this red area right here. And this red area is the city limits of San Luis Obispo. Notice that in the city of San Luis Obispo, we have the confluence of San Luis Obispo Creek, the main stem, and as well as Stener Creek. So if we start on the Stener Creek side of that confluence, Stener Creek starts up in the headwaters of the watershed, flows through private as well as state lands, including Cal Poly State University. You might recall that Cal Poly has a WDR regulating animal waste, or the discharge of animal waste. And then Stener Creek then flows through the city of San Luis Obispo, where it picks up urban sources of fecal coliform, which is what we're going to be talking about, and then has a confluence with San Luis Obispo Creek within the city limits. On the San Luis Obispo Creek side of this confluence, notice that monitoring site 12.5 is at the city limit margin, and I'm going to be referring to these monitoring sites in just a couple of moments here. So if you would kind of key in on this monitoring site, as well as the fact that the main stem of San Luis Obispo Creek flows through a tunnelized area within the city limits. Now, this tunnel is about 1,200 feet long, and as I said, flows within the city of San Luis Obispo, basically in the heart of downtown San Luis Obispo. It has provided habitat for literally hundreds of birds, including pigeons, as well as bats, and people also frequent this tunnelized area. There are also private laterals. Yes. This tunnel is actually quite amazing. The upper end of this tunnel is constructed of this enormous granitic rock that I'm not sure how they got it up there 100 years ago. Anyway, there are private laterals that crisscross the top of this tunnel, which are servicing the businesses that are overhead. And these private laterals carry sewage over to the city's main lines that flank the sides of this tunnel. So back to this map. So the tunnel. We have monitoring site 12.5, and then we have the tunnel. And then after the confluence, we have monitoring site 10.0. And so that's after the confluence. And then the creek continues flowing southwesterly and then hits the discharge of the wastewater treatment plant. Okay, so now we're going to move ahead here. So this is data taken in March and April of 2001, and it's 5 samples taken in a 30-day period. So the y-axis represents the log mean of those 5 samples, and the red line indicates the water quality objective for the fecal coliform number protecting the REC 1 beneficial use. All these sites on the left-hand side of the graph are downstream of the sites on the right-hand side of the graph. So if we start at monitoring site 12.5, which is, again, at the margin of the city limits, and we march downstream, or as we flow downstream, we see that we're under that 200 mark. And then monitoring site 10.9 is at the upper end of that tunnel, and we're just above that 200 mark. And at the downstream end of that tunnel, then we go to 545. This is consistently what we see at the downstream side of that tunnel during wet months. And then we have the confluence of Stener Creek here, and then we have another bump up, but still within that same magnitude. And then as we flow downstream, we hit the wastewater treatment plant with their effluent, and that effluent is regulated by their NPDES permit, which has an effluent limit for fecal coliform of 2.2 MPN per 100 mil, and they consistently hit that effluent limit. So basically what we have is we have a dilution occurring downstream here, okay? So as we go along, this is what happens during the dry months. During the dry months, again, it's the same arrangement of the monitoring sites. We have site 12.5 at the upper end, and then we have the upstream side of that tunnel, and then we have the downstream side of that tunnel. Note that at the downstream side of the tunnel, this time we're an order of magnitude over what we were during the wetter years, or during the wetter months. The reason that that is because the flow in the dry portion of the year is substantially less, and we consistently see this during the dry parts of the year, which leads us to believe that there is a consistent and continuous source occurring in that tunnel. So then we have the confluence of Stener Creek, and then we have the dilution occurring at the treatment plant. And then finally, we have, again, five samples taken in a 30-day period. This time it was in March and April of 2003. We see the same pattern occurring, site 12.5. We don't have those five samples for the upstream side of the tunnel. By the downstream side of the tunnel, we have that same order of magnitude increase. And then the treatment plant, and we have that dilution occurring. So what we did then is we were trying to focus in on, well, what's happening in this tunnel? So we performed a DNA analysis. And this is a graph showing the results of that DNA. The bars on top, or the numbers on top of the bars, represent the number of isolates that were associated with these particular sources. And the line graph represents the relative frequency of that number. So, for example, this bar represents, or it says, that 82 isolates were confirmed as being from the human source, representing 41% of that total number of isolates that was identified. Birds, we have 34, representing 17%. And then there's that bat fraction that I was talking about, the bats that are inside the tunnel. Okay? So then we go ahead.
Before you do, how did you distinguish human from CSO? Because CSO would seem to be human too.
Well, not necessarily, because the CSO, as you know, is a combined sewer overflow, and that CSO comes from an organism that has been identified from coming only from CSOs, but it has not been identified with a particular organism. So we really can't say that it comes from a human organism. We only know that it comes from a source that is consistently seen coming out of CSOs. Buy that? Okay, well.
What's the organism?
That's what we don't know. Samples were taken from CSOs, and those samples found an organism that only came from the CSOs. But that particular isolate has not been identified with a particular organism, such as human, birds, bats, or whatever. That's all we know, is that every time we see that particular microbe, it is coming out of a CSO.
So this is not a human microbe, but it's something growing in the system then?
Well, that's all we know, is that it is a microbe from a warm-blooded organism, and that CSO, of course, carries probably, you know, well, it did, it carried human microbes as well as microbes from other organisms. But what we don't know is what organism that microbe came from. That's all we know, is that we only see that microbe coming out of CSOs.
And CSO, correct me if I'm right, is sewer overflow?
Yes.
So If it's not human, then we've got raccoons and so forth using toilets up in the system.
Okay, well, actually, sorry, go ahead.
Combined.
Yes, this is combined. So what this means is that in the event that we have an overflow in the sewage system and it flows into the storm system, then it's combined.
It's collecting
However,
storm stuff.
I need to add that in San Luis Obispo, we don't have CSOs. There aren't any CSOs in San Luis Obispo. This isolate came from samples that are taken elsewhere in the West, but we don't have CSOs in San Luis Obispo.
And these isolates are all taken from coliform bacteria.
Yes.
That's the common thread between what we see up there.
E. coli, yes.
E. coli.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get rid of the tunnel?
Well, well, if we did that, then all the businesses overhead would be in the stream, and they'd have to have a 401, and I don't think we could get that for them. So, okay. So then we use the concentration data as well as the DNA data as well as flow data to come up with a loading analysis, and this is what we came up with. The urban fraction, which is basically everything other than these, accounts for 46%. Human is 27%. This is the tunnel, birds and bats, livestock, and then background. Okay. The numeric target for this TMDL is equivalent to the